Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
There are churches that will go 20 or 30 years and never deal with the concept of God's wrath. And so people will say today, because of that, I believe that this is the cause and effect. I'm not afraid of God. The Bible says to fear God, and I'm not afraid of Him. And then we try to say, well, it's not really like fear, but it is fear. He is God. He is God Almighty, and we have to answer to Him.
We love God because He is our Heavenly Father. The Scriptures encourage us to call Him friend. But God is also our Lord and the God of righteousness. One day, we will all answer to Him for how we have lived our lives. Because we love God, we also fear Him. He is a just judge. We're in Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. With more, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The Bible teaches us two things about God as it relates to us. First, that God is love and that He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And this is what we hear most often. We hear that God loves us. It's never a shock for us. We don't go, I didn't know that. We've heard it for a long time. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Earlier in that same chapter in John 4:10, it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. Fancy word for sacrifice, but it means the only sacrifice that would suffice. So it's the only one that could, is our propitiation. It was the only way that we could have our sins forgiven was through Jesus Christ. It says, the Son of God to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, the second is something people don't want to talk about today. And that is that God is angry at the ungodly and the unrighteous. That there is a love that God has, but there is also an anger that God has. And when you think of anger, don't think of an outburst of anger. Think of a righteous anger that is against those who are deliberately moving against God. Most of the passages that bring up God's anger bring up how we can escape His anger. Because the Bible teaches that all of us at one time were under the wrath of God. The anger of God was burning towards me, and I was able to escape the wrath of God that is to come, and so were you if you have a relationship with Him. So when it talks about the wrath of God, usually it talks about the way of escape from that wrath. Here is John 3:36. Now, you know John 3:16, which talks about His love, but later on in that same passage, in the same meal He had with Nicodemus, He said this, whoever believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So when I give you a choice, a chance to invite Christ into your life, and you learn that the Bible says that as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. And you say, well, I don't want to follow him. I want to live for myself. I want to live in the world. Then the wrath of God still abides on you. Romans 5:8-9, we'll get there eventually, says, God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath that is to come. So that's a verse that I quote often, but I don't quote the last part of that verse. I quote that while we were still sinners, he died for us, but in receiving him, we are saved from the wrath that is to come. God's wrath is on its way. If we come to Christ, we have been saved from it. Now, the title of our message today is The Wrath of God and Those Who Have Never Heard. So we want to think, how does God respond and react to those who have never heard the message of the gospel? We have a subtitle, and that is The Wrath of God Revealed. And you'll see in a moment why I use that term, the wrath of God revealed, because it is in our text. Now let's take a look at our text, and I want us to go all the way back to verse 16, because there's a transition here from good news to bad news. I almost entitled the study, Now the Bad News. But I thought, I don't know how compelling that is for people to click on and watch. I don't know that I want to watch the bad news. I want to watch the good news. Well, we got the good news first, which is really interesting in the book of Romans. We talked about good news or bad news first. We got the good news first from verse 1 all the way through verse 17. There's the gospel. It's brought up in verse 1. Paul talks about us receiving it and wanting to bring it to the Romans. And then finally, at the very end of that, he says in verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the word good news. I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Do you remember the title of our study? The wrath of God revealed. In it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so in that transition verse, the righteousness of God is revealed in the good news. Now we have in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who surpass the truth in unrighteousness. So the wrath of God is revealed upon ungodly and unrighteous individuals. Now, D.L. Moody, pastor and evangelist, was born in 1837. He died in 1899, never saw a day of the 1900s. He was a great preacher and a great evangelist. He never formally went through any schooling, but yet he preached to over 100 million people in his lifetime. Now, that's quite a feat without any of the technology that we have today in the 1800s. He also was part of the Union, an officer in the Union Army, and he was a chaplain for the Confederate prisoners, just to making sure that they were okay and ministering to the Confederate soldiers in their time of needs. The preachers of his day talked a lot about the wrath of God and fleeing from that wrath. In fact, that you heard that a lot more during those days than you hear it today. You probably heard it as much then as we hear about the love of God today. Charles Spurgeon, F.B. Meyer, R.A. Torrey were all preachers that were contemporaries with D.L. Moody, and they all wrote extensively on the wrath of God and how to escape that wrath. That was D.L. Moody's altar call for the first part of his life, was talking about the wrath of God and escaping it and coming to Christ and finding yourself freed, which we just read is very biblical. But there's a biography done on D.L. Moody. By the way, it's one of the best biographies that I've ever read. There are just some great accounts in it. It goes in a chronological sense, but it goes in the relationships with the people that he knew. With Bliss, who sang for him in his crusades, or R.A. Torrey, when he met Charles Spurgeon, which there's a hilarious story. I don't know if you've ever heard it there, but D.L. Moody was a big man. He weighed a lot. And Charles Spurgeon smoked cigars. And Charles Spurgeon was asked at one point, when will smoking cigars in excess, would that be a sin? Charles Spurgeon said, well, if I had one in both hands, that would be a sin because it would be in excess. Well, when D.L. Moody went to England, because he felt like he didn't have enough knowledge, he wanted to learn more, which tells us something about a man who's used the way D.L. Moody was, and he was humble enough to go, I need to learn more. I don't know enough. I want to know the Bible better. So he goes to England to meet with F.B. Meyer and Charles Spurgeon, and he knocks on Spurgeon's door, and Spurgeon answers the door with a cigar. And D.L. Moody says, how can you, as a Christian, have a cigar? And Spurgeon stepped forward and tapped him on the stomach and said, how can you as a Christian be so fat? So that'll tell you the interaction that they had. And that's told in this biography. There's another one during the Chicago fire when Emma, his wife, is collecting goods from their home that is being burned up in the Chicago fire. He lost the Illinois church, which is the church he pastored, and his home in that fire. And she had grabbed a painting that someone had made of D.L. Moody. And she said, carry this for me. And he said, I'm not carrying it for you. She was like, oh, come on, carry it for me. He goes, I'm not going to do it. I'll run into somebody. And they'll say, Mr. Moody, what did you save from your house that was burning? Why, I saved this beautiful portrait of myself. And he said, I will not be caught doing such a thing. He made her carry it. She knocked it out of the frame and she carried it, and he wouldn't help her because he wasn't going to be caught dead carrying away his own picture from a fire. He was probably right, wasn't he, to do that? But this book is called A Passion for Souls. You could get it in an audiobook. I promise you'll be blessed by reading about the entire life from his childhood until he's an adult. But he tells the story, and I'm hoping I'm remembering the details right, because I couldn't find it exactly. But here's what I remember reading, that he was doing a series of meetings. Like, they would have meetings back then that would go for a week or 2 weeks or sometimes longer than that. As long as people would come to hear somebody preach, then they would be doing them. So he'd started preaching a series of meetings in this place. And at one point, a gentleman came up to him, put his hand on his shoulder and said, have you ever considered preaching on the love of God? Because D.L. Moody was so well known for teaching the wrath of God. And D.L. Moody said it was transformative, that it changed his ministry. When he began looking at how much the Bible spoke of the love of God, and although he never abandoned the wrath of God in his messages, he turned to the love of God. I think that we need someone today who will walk up to our shoulders as pastors, put their hands on our shoulders and say, have you considered speaking about the wrath of God? Because when is the last time that you heard a message on the wrath of God? And when there are churches that will go 20 or 30 years and never deal with the concept of God's wrath. And so people will say today, because of that, I believe that this is the cause and effect. I'm not afraid of God. The Bible says to fear God, and I'm not afraid of him. And then we try to say, well, it's not really like fear, but it is fear. He is God. He is God Almighty, and we have to answer to him. And if you are not afraid of him today, you will be when you see him. The topic is definitely neglected today. So let's take some time to consider what the Bible has to say about the wrath of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul said this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. One of the reasons that Paul persuaded men was because of the terror of the Lord, that they would one day be judged, that one day there would be the wrath. He says, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. Now all things are God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. So he connected the ministry of reconciliation. Again, that's a common verse we'll talk about, but connecting it to the absolute terror of God, that when we see him, he is 100% holy. He is 100% just. Psalm 7:11 says, God is a just judge. If God is a just judge and he's going to judge me, and he's listed the sins, let's just take the Ten Commandments. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't commit adultery. And Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. You take just those four and I'm guilty. I fall under the judgment of God. Now, some of you might say, Robert, how could you say such a thing? And I would say that if you say it's not you, then you've got to add lying to that list that I just gave you, because all of us fall under that. God knew his wrath would fall upon mankind completely if he didn't do something to let our sins be forgiven, cause us to be reborn, cause us to be new people that would have new desires. Our desire now is not just to satisfy our own flesh, but to satisfy and please our Savior and our Lord, which is part of what being born again is. Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not fear those," this is Jesus speaking, "do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to both to destroy both soul and body in hell." God was saying, rather than fearing just someone who can kill you now, but can't kill your soul, then worry about the one who can kill your body and your soul in hell, which would be the judgment, the ultimate judgment of being thrown into the lake of fire. Just a couple more. In 2 Peter 2:9 and 10, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation." A great passage for us to memorize, right? When we're tempted, God knows how to deliver us. "And to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially to those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." In Hebrews 10:31, we learn, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." Now, we could go on and talk more about the Bible, what the Bible has to say about the terror of God. But here is the truth. One day we will stand before him and we should be judged, because God is completely pure, completely holy. There's no shifting of shadows in him. He is all powerful. Now, when we talk about the wrath of God today, inevitably the question comes back to me, why is God so angry? And what's he so mad about? Well, could you imagine with me for a moment that you could see everything just for one night? Everything that happens in every city to every person around the world in just one night. Imagine that he saw places that had happened that are worse than other places. Imagine all the suffering of the children that he experienced, or the abusing of women or men taking advantage of men. Imagine if God saw all, if you saw all of that for one night, how long would it be before your blood was boiling? How long would it be until you would say, that's it, this place is done, I've had enough? Because there's a lot that goes on. Now imagine that night after night after night after night, year after year after year after year, all the way back in time since he created man, and you see that God is more gracious than any of us are. I don't know that we would still be waiting if we saw that. We would say these people need to be judged and they need to be judged now. And some places were so bad that they did get judgment right away. One of those was 2,700 years ago, and its place is Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember that Abraham pleaded, if you could find just 10 righteous men in the city, then you wouldn't destroy it. And God said, if I find 10 righteous men, I won't destroy it. But he burned it with fire and brimstone. Now, when I first began pastoring, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were put into the myth category in the Bible. They are not real places. But Dr. Stephen Collins, an archaeologist out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, discovered the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah about 15 years ago. They found the burn layer. They found the Trinidite, which is a glass that is made. They found Trinidite, which is a glass that is made when an atomic bomb goes off. It melts dirt and sand into a green kind of a glass. And he found Trinidite on the site, as well as an 18-inch burn layer that was over all of the area. And you got to read about it to get all of the details on it. But here we are, Israel is a nation again. God says in the last days, Israel will be a nation, and there will be a war of the world really turning against Israel and coming after them. At the same time, they discover the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But here's the thing. Have you seen that on a cover of a magazine? Have you heard about that in the news? The discovery is made. It's a consensus among scholars that it is the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, right where the Bible says they were, with a burn layer that dates to the day that it says, that dates the time that they said that it would happen. and with significant heat that goes beyond what a normal fire would have created, because it would never have created the Trinidad had that been the case. Remember in Alamogordo, they named the site where they were testing nuclear weapons, I think it was Trinity. And because of that, the stones, the glass that they found that the nuclear bombs were melting was Trinidad. That's where it came from. I said, it has to be that kind of heat. And that speaks of God's wrath. God sent the children of Israel into Canaan because they were serving false gods and causing their children to pass through fire. They were sacrificing their children to Molech, who was the god of pleasure, to secure for themselves their own pleasure. In the Old Testament, God speaks of this, and he calls the babies the innocents because they killed the innocents. That these babies, even though they were born with a sin nature, God sees them as the innocent. This is one of the reasons that I say all babies, all children up to a certain age, and who knows what age that is, but go up into heaven because God sees them as innocents. But God used Israel to drive out the Canaanites, to kill them or drive them out as a form of judgment. People will malign God for that today. But God brought judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. God brought judgment upon Canaan. And when the children of Israel did the exact same things that the people in Canaan did, God drove them out of the land. God had them taken by Sennacherib the Assyrian and by Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. And they were taken into it as well. So with that in mind, that God sees everything, that God has had it up to here with certain areas like Canaan before Israel, like Sodom and Gomorrah, like the time before the flood when violence covered the earth, here's what we're told. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now we learn something very important about this wrath of God that is revealed, that men know the truth and they suppress that truth. Now, when we think about the amount of people that have been alive since the gospel has been taken around the world to the time before the gospel was around the world, there are many times more that could have heard the gospel than couldn't have heard the gospel. But we're going to read in the book of Romans that God revealed himself to all men, not just through the gospel, not just through Israel, not just through the Old Testament, but God revealed himself to all men. Listen to what it goes on to say in verse 19. Because what may be known about God, God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. I'm going to call these graces, graces that God has given to mankind, that mankind knows there is a God. That's one of the reasons that all around the world, whenever you found an isolated population, that they had some kind of a belief system in God, because God has placed it inside of them. They didn't know who he was, but they believed that there was a God who had created the things around them. God has put eternity in our hearts. God has revealed that there is an eternity, and he's revealed to us that there is a God.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio, 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text READY FOR JESUS to 94000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.